Well, we are here because he has risen from the dead. And I want to welcome you again this morning as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's give God a thanks offering of praise and thanks. Thank you, Lord. We are going to begin a new series this morning that I've entitled For the One, and you can see the banners on both sides. And when you think about Easter, it is the story of one. It is the story of the one and only God-man, Jesus Christ. It is the story of that one's death, that one's sacrifice, his suffering, as well as his resurrection that we celebrate today. And then when we take all of that in, we begin to think about the fact that Jesus did everything for one, for us. He left the 99 to go and find that one. And I want to tell you this morning, I was that one. How about you? Is that you? Well, say it with me this morning. I was that one. Come on, let's say it together. I was that one. And so we are celebrating that fact. I want you to go with me to the text. It's an unusual text for Easter, a little bit different. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 20. If you have your smart device and you want to look it up there, or follow along on the screen. We have it up there for you as well. Or if you're using your Bible, whatever means or method that you want to hear and follow with your eyes this morning, I'm going to read it. Here we are, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 20. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from an earthly point of view. Once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. All this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Take a look at this video with me, please, this morning.
My name is Joy Strah. Been going to Abundant Life since 2012. I guess it all started when my mom got sick in 2012. She had a stroke, and she really got sick on us. And she was the world to me. And that's how I met Pastor Everett. I mean, he was there when my family, needed somebody to lean on. I said to myself, this is a person that don't know my family, don't know nobody in our family. And here he is right here, being with us, praying, talking to us. He didn't really push the word of God, he was there for support. My mom passed away. She told me to promise I would go to church. I started coming. I started changing my life. My life started changing little by little. I knew I wanted to get baptized, but I didn't know when I was ready. And just by things that were going in my life, it was like I wanted to wash all that bad stuff out of me, and I was ready to get reborn. My little brother, he was more like a son to me. I got baptized here. He was there. I never can forget it. Gave me a big old hug. He said, I'm proud of you. You know, you're set to God. And a lot of people always say, you know, why are you always smiling now? You know, you got this glow. And I guess today was the first day that I realized that, you know, that's why I got that glow. You know, it's God's house, this place here. You know, the people around here.
My name is Joe Estrada. I'm the one.
Thank you, Lord. If you haven't met Joe, you need to meet Joe. I'm sure you met him by the door out there this morning, just loving people and greeting people. God has just done a great work in his life. Our text this morning that we've read a minute ago reveals that the story of Easter is all about one, because one died for all. You see that in verse 14. Because we are convinced that one died for all. Often when someone dies, especially a good man, a good woman, or it's early in life, or it's a tragic death or loss, the question we ask is, why? Sometimes there are no answers. I know as a pastor, you know, that question's been asked of me, and there are many times I don't have the answer for that. Sometimes we find the answer for that here and now, but sometimes it's going to take eternity for us to get the answer to that. But in the case of this one dying for all, we know why. The scriptures make it very clear. He died to pay the penalty of sin for one, for us. I am that one. God's word tells us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, you know, most people think, and I have to confess to you, until recently, I kind of thought in these terms as well, but, you know, something made me think about this a little bit more. Most of the time, we think in terms of we're sinners because we sin. And in a way, that's true, but here's something that we really need to get a hold of. And that isn't that sin isn't just something we do. It's a condition that's in us. You see, the fact of the matter is, through one, since we're talking about one, through one, there it is again, the story of one, sin affected the entire spiritual DNA of every person that has ever lived and will ever live on the planet. Science has come to understand that if they take some of your DNA, they can figure out who you are all related to and what your ethnicity is and your continent of origin and your parents and all of those things. Well, I want to tell you, you have a spiritual DNA. I have a spiritual DNA. And through the sin of one, that DNA has been affected in every person that has ever lived or will ever live on the planet. Has this condition of sin. We see this condition revealed in the history of our world as we look back at families, history of brokenness, and history of the incredible tragedies caused by people when sin gets a hold of our lives and what it does. And this condition is revealed throughout all of time in history. This condition has brought about the penalty of death, but the good news is one died for all. He said, I will do this for the one. I will leave the 99 and go find that person. Now, that alone would be good news enough that someone died for us, that they paid a penalty for us. But it gets even better than this, because another reason why one died for all is to provide eternal life for us. John 3:16 tells us, for God so, come on, you can say it better than that, for God so loved the world. Let's change that, okay? For God so loved the world, but we need to see that God so loved me. Would you say that together with me? For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life or eternal life. Now, So often, we might gloss over the fact that this eternal life that God is offering to us is not just a quantity of life. You know, we can think of the terms of eternal life because we think of temporal and eternal, and we know temporal is just for this here and now moment, but when we speak of eternal, it's like never ending. And that's true. He's offering to us never ending life, but I want to tell you the quality of life that he offers for us since one died for all is beyond what your mind can imagine. It will blow your mind, and it's so incredible that the Word of God says, you know, it's hard to fathom exactly this life that God has for us, planned for us, and all that he has to offer for us in this eternal life that he gives to us. It's a quality beyond anything that we've ever seen or experienced. But the text also reveals to us that the story of Easter is also about one, because one died, changing the way that we live. Did you catch that in the text? Look at verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You see, the story of one is a story of transformation. He not only changes our hearts and lives, but that transformational change is so powerful and so transformative that the text tells us that now we're not going to look at people any longer from a human point of view. You know, the human point of view is, when it's in sin, it's like, what can they do for me? Or what can I get out of them? Or what do they have to offer? And Josh, in reading that author, The Reckless Love of God, you know, that love wasn't, you know, what is he going to get out? It's just love expressed. And you see, seeing people from just a purely human point of view means I only think in temporal terms. And temporal just focuses on this present, here and now life. But when we are transformed by this power of God, this one that has come to touch us, we no longer see them in just what's here and now, but we begin to think about people in their eternal destiny. You know, there is life. There is life beyond this life. I can't convince you of that, but the Holy Spirit witnesses that to your heart and your mind. There must be something beyond this. There has to be more than this. I'm reminded of the coins that were minted in Spain years ago before Columbus sailed across the sea. Because you see, men thought that as you took out on those ships, that there must be, that was the flat earth theory, and they thought that there is got to be an end, and you're going to fall off, the ships are going to fall off, the ocean just ends, and you're never coming back. And so Spain had coins that had been minted far before Columbus sailed, and they had the Rock of Gibraltar on that coin, and in Latin it said, no more beyond. Christopher Columbus, as you know, would sail, and he would come back and bring back where he thought he had been to the West Indies, and he would bring back these things, and all of a sudden, people began to see and think that it doesn't end there. And those coins had to be changed, and they still put the Rock of Gibraltar on it, only this time in Latin it said, much more beyond. I submit to you this morning that you may think that this is it here and now, but I want to tell you there is much more beyond this life and this existence, and that's the reason why Jesus came and died, and that's the reason why he rose from the dead, and that Easter thousands of years ago, 500 plus people witnessed the fact that he had risen from the dead. I tell you today, there is much more beyond, and we dare not look at people in just a temporal existence, but consider their eternal existence. You see, one died to transform us so that we no longer see others from a human point of view. And then secondly, that we no longer live for ourselves. Isn't it refreshing when you come across people who their life isn't just about them? I don't know about you, but you get around some folks that if life is just all about them, it isn't too long that you know that they're just full of themselves. Can I say that this morning? That they're full of themselves, and you don't necessarily like to be around them. But when you come across someone who, regardless of their station in life, whether they have a lot of wealth or they're poor, their whole life is about ministering and reaching and touching other lives and sharing good news with them. Got to tell you about two different people here real quick. My first church that I pastored, there was a man extremely wealthy. His combined gross income was about $150 million a year. Lived in a real small town. The town he lived in was 14,000 people. He came to our little church in a village about 2,000 people. The thing about Bill that always impressed me is he had no airs about his wealth or anything like that. But he came to me one time. He said, "Pastor, I want to do something for the Lord. And what I want to do is I want you to allow me to, under the auspices of the church, to go to the state hospital where there are some people that are mentally ill and people don't go and see them. And I want to go there every Thursday and just love them and teach the word of God to them." You talk about refreshing. He no longer lived for himself. He saw his life as giving back to the Lord. And then just recently, about a year ago, I came across another guy. I want to give you another illustration. A guy who was homeless. His name is George. And he lives on the streets in Dallas. And George lives so that he can help the other homeless people on the street. He came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and it transformed and changed his life. It saved him from death, and he was so transformed. It was no longer about bringing stuff together for himself, but George has a cart full of stuff. And when we took him a coat last fall, and we took him some stuff, he said, "Oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to be able to give this to people that need it when they need it." You see, Jesus had transformed his life. One died and changed the way that he lived. He no longer lived for himself. Can I tell you that this is what we are about here at Abundant Life? We have ministries to disciple and strengthen the believer, but our primary focus and directive is to reach the one. That's what we want to be all about here at Abundant Life. The one who hasn't heard, the one who has wandered away. We want to tell people, we want to reach the one that may have been heard and they're broken. Our desire is to be the Lord Jesus to the ones who need him. Can I get a witness for that this morning? The incredible thing about this is when we quit living for ourselves, we really begin to live. Jesus said it this way: if you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give your life up for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. Finally, this morning, God's word teaches us that the story of Easter is all about the one, because one died, making us ambassadors for the one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." Now, I'm sure we know what an ambassador is, but just let me refresh your memory. It's a representative. It's someone who goes in the stead of someone else. It's someone who has been commissioned or appointed to that place to represent and give the message of that person, whether it's a king or a president or whatever it is. And the scripture says, God has made us ambassadors. Look at your neighbor right now. Would you just tell them, God made you an ambassador? Today, when you go to lunch and you're having conversation with someone and they say to you, "What do you do?" You tell them, "I'm an ambassador." And they're where? For who? You're an ambassador for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God has made you an ambassador, but I want you to catch this. He's making his appeal to us, through us, and he is wanting us to leave the 99 and go after that one and reach that one. So we see here that he has given us a message of reconciliation. Reconciliation means to make things right in a relationship. Rabbi David A. Nelson likes to tell the story of two brothers who went to their rabbi to settle a long-standing feud. Somehow, the rabbi got the two brothers to reconcile their differences. They shook hands, and as they were about to leave, he asked each one to make a wish of the other in honor of the Jewish New Year. The first brother turned to his other brother and said, "I wish you what you're wishing me." And the other brother threw up his hands and said to the rabbi, "Look, he's starting it all over again." You see, reconciliation happens in our hearts. It's a message of resolving those relationships. This message of reconciliation is through the death of Christ and the power of the resurrection, first and foremost, to make things right between us and God. Sin separates us from God. You know, the story, there's so much in the story of the resurrection and the crucifixion that time won't allow to tell it all. But God, in this reckless love that he gave his son for us, he was the one who was perfect and holy, and he took on everything for us. And this power of Christ's death and resurrection makes things right between us and God. Not that God says it's okay that you've sinned, but that God says, "I'm going to make a way for us to be back in fellowship with one another, for us to have a relationship with one another. I'm going to pay this penalty for your sin." And that's the most important part of this reconciliation. As we've read it in the scripture, reconciling us between God. But there is another part of this message of death and resurrection, that the power of Christ and his resurrection has the power to make things right in our earthly relationships. You know, it's amazing to me to see how God is able, with his power and his spirit, to take the brokenness of our life and the brokenness of our relationships and bring healing and grace and forgiveness. Look at this, verse 20. It's this message of reconciliation is an appeal that is made through us. Now, we're going to look at a video here in a moment, and when you watch this video, what I want you to see is the message had been there all along, but God made the appeal through someone else, and it was that appeal that changed his life.
I'm Sam Escamilla Jr. I'm the middle school pastor here at Abundant Life. I've been going to Abundant Life. I started coming here in 2007, and then I left for the military in 2008 and came back in 2011. When I went off to the military, I kind of drifted off, and I started working for this apartment complex, and, you know, I was working with, you know, people that, you know, use drugs, and I had no problem with them using drugs, and I just tried it. And that 2011 year was probably one of the roughest years of, you know, my life. And that's when I met James Weiss. And for almost a year, he was just like constantly trying to cut me off. He would meet me at the pillar back there, and he would be like, "Hey man, you should, I have big plans for this youth group. He's like, I'd like for you to help me out." And I was just like, "Nah man, I don't, get away from me man. I don't want nothing to do with you." Around August, one of my supervisors from the apartment complex, he tells me, "Hey, we just got bought out by a Jewish company. And they said that if you want to work for them, you need to come and take this drug test." And I knew for sure that I wasn't going to be able to pass the drug test. So they basically laid me off. And yet, like I said, man, Josh and James just kept on annoying me and telling me to come to church. It was a process for sure. Like, it wasn't just like, "All right, I'll come." It was almost 2 years till I finally was just like, "All right, I'll help out." It was a very powerful illustration that James taught the youth group and the youth leaders at the time. And basically was, we were having a bonfire. And he had asked everyone, including leaders as well, to bring things that were holding you back in life. I remember, you know, students just bringing, you know, iPods and journals and you know, CDs that, you know, were just holding them back, and they were just throwing them into the fire. And to me, that was just so powerful. And there's a picture that I have. That's, I don't know who took it, but James has his arm wrapped around me. And I remember having that conversation with them and telling them that I was all in, and that that I was gonna have his back no matter what. And that same night when I went back home, I threw away, you know, things as well that were holding me back. Threw away this little, where I would keep, you know, my drugs. I threw those away just because of the impact that, you know, the students made in my life at that time. That summer right there was the summer that the light switched on. And it was, man, it was just... I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be Pastor Sam. But yet, Josh just kept on, you know, staying in contact with me and just kept inviting me. And I'm just like, I couldn't run away from it. Josh just kept on reaching out, and, you know, James as well. And I just, I'm just so grateful. My name is Sam Escamilla Jr., and I am the one.
Pastor Sam, none of us deserve it. That's the power of this one. While we were yet in sin. I'm speaking to several today who are in this house that God has made his appeal through others to you. You're here today because someone reached out to you. Someone invited you. Someone cares about you. Someone is concerned about you beyond a human, merely a human point of view. They're concerned about eternity. I want to tell you that it's no accident that you're here today. The Holy Spirit is working and moving in hearts and lives. He loves us and wants to transform us. Would you stand together with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed.